Welcome to this week's Ox Talk for Tuesday, the 10th of December, 2024. This week's news items from the local papers were selected by Stuart Jeffrey and Bridget Dool, and are read by Janet Proudman and Bridget Dool. The copying and the distribution of the USB sticks is by Michelle Lawful, and the technical officer, that's me, is David Field. Today's sunrise is at 8 o'clock, and sunset is just before 4. As this is the last edition for 2024, we have included a setting of a seasonal song after the news items. We hope you enjoy it. We start with a word from Margaret.
Hello, listeners. On behalf of Ox Talk volunteers, I'm wishing you all good wishes for Christmas and the new year. And on your behalf, I shall be thanking all the Ox Talk volunteers who each week help to produce Ox Talk's talking newspaper so that you can hear what is happening in Oxford and the local area. This is the last recording for 2024. Ox Talk will be back with you around the 15th or 16th of January 2025. Good wishes to you all. Bye for now. Margaret.
The festive season has kicked off at Westgate as hundreds of decorations have been put up throughout the centre. The decorations are inspired from a festive forest idea, with white lights welcoming guests to the centre and continuing through to the roof terraces. Throughout the centre, there are 260 festoon bulbs, more than 6,000 metres, which is 6 kilometres, of light curtains, and 312 paper fold-out trees. The Westgate Christmas Village in Leyden Square also opened this week, which will be open daily from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. until January the 5th. Guests are invited to ride the vintage carousel, browse personalised Christmas decorations, festive cheeses and Belgian chocolate kisses, as well as enjoying seasonal refreshments such as German sausage straight from the grill, mini Dutch pancakes, churros and mulled wine. Brendan Hattam, Centre Director of the Westgate, said, "Our new decorations and the arrival of the Christmas Village have transformed the centre into a magical wonderland. And we can't wait to see our guests enjoying the festivities."
Oxfordshire residents are being challenged to do one wild thing every day or night for 12 days this Christmas. The Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Oxfordshire Wildlife Trust is running its annual 12 Days Wild Challenge from December the 25th to January the 5th. Participants are encouraged to sign up on the Trust's website to receive daily emails with ideas to help them connect with nature. Suggestions include tracking animals by their footprints, stargazing, or volunteering at a nature reserve. TV presenter and Wildlife Trust Vice President Iola Williams said, "There are so many wildlife adventures to be had during 12 Days Wild. I hope you enjoy them." Liz Shearer, Community Engagement Director at the Trust, added, "To mark 12 Days Wild this year, I'll be pledging to connect with nature for at least 10 minutes every day. 12 Days Wild is a great opportunity to create some space for yourself, which at this time of year can feel like a real gift." She added, "Noticing our relationship with the natural world is the first step to taking action to safeguard it. So I encourage you to stop for a moment, listen, and see what wildlife means to you." A Wildlife Trust survey found participants of the 30 Days Wild Summer Challenge felt 56% more connected to nature after taking part.
Oxford remained extensively flooded following the impact of Storm Bert. The storm had caused severe flooding across the city and wider county, with homes, schools, roads and businesses all affected. flood warnings have been removed from Oxford, with river levels falling below the flood risk threshold, but parts of the city remain underwater. A statement from Oxford City Council said, "Flood alerts remain in place and many areas of Oxford remain extensively flooded." Following paths closed around Oxford on that day, Marston Cycle Path, Willow Walk, towpath from Fiddler's Island to Botley Road, towpath from Osney Lock to Grand Pont, towpath from Folly Bridge to Donington Bridge. The towpath between Donington Bridge and Iffley Lock was then clear, but the towpath south of Iffley Lock remained heavily flooded. Even after the floodwater initially recedes, please do not use the towpaths until they've been inspected and formally reopened, which you know when the towpath close signs have been removed. Floodwater can also damage the structural integrity of the towpaths, meaning some sections could give way underfoot. Flood barriers remain in place for now at Bullstake Close, Osney Island and South Hinksey. And a note to say that further flooding is expected. Oxfordshire residents are being reminded to post their Christmas cards early this year. Royal Mail has launched a special postmark which reads, "Remember to post early for Christmas, royalmail.com/greetings, to encourage early posting. The postmark is now being applied to stamped mail nationwide up to Thursday, December the 19th. With the festive season fast approaching, people are being urged to keep an eye on the last posting dates to ensure their Christmas cards, letters and parcels reach their destinations in time. The last recommending posting date for second class and second class signed is Wednesday, December the 18th. For first class signed for and Royal Mail tracked 48, the date is Friday, December the 20th. For Royal Mail tracked 24, the last recommended posting date is Saturday, December the 21st. And for special delivery guaranteed, it is Monday, December the 23rd. Nick Landon, Chief Commercial Officer at Royal Mail, said, "We all have a lot on at this time of year, and it's easy to leave posting cards and presents to the last minute. However, the run-up to Christmas is by far the busiest time of the year for our posters. We don't want anyone to be disappointed by not getting their cards and presents in time for the big day. So we are reminding customers to post by the deadlines."
A stunning medieval gold ring has been found on a building site in Oxford. Oxford Archaeology completed a dig on behalf of housing association A2 Dominion, which is building new flats in Gibbs Crescent near Botley Road. In 2019, the City Council granted planning permission for 140 flats in the street after a block on the site was destroyed in an explosion in February 2019. Archaeologists have now revealed a series of fascinating finds. The excavation, completed in September this year, investigated the southern part of Osney Abbey before the construction of new apartment blocks. An Augustinian priory was founded on Osney Island, west of the medieval walled town, in the 12th century, and rapidly expanded to become a powerful abbey. The Oxford archaeology team found the stunning gold finger ring in a mud-filled channel, a drain at the former abbey. Maria Bellissimo, a spokesman for Oxford archaeology, said, "The medieval ring dating from AD 1050 to 1300 was stirrup-shaped." Other finds from the site include medieval glazed pottery, tile, animal bone, worked stone, and also a human tooth found within one of the drains of the early abbey. Carl Champness, Senior Project Manager at Oxford Archaeology, said, "I'm very happy that in the end we were able to protect the archaeological remains at this site. But it's also gratifying to see the targeted archaeological work produce important new insights into the layout and development of the Abbey. Chris Ives, Managing Director of Development and Regeneration at A2 Dominion, said, "We were pleased to appoint Oxford Archaeology to carry out this work at Gibbs Crescent on our behalf, and their investigations have helped us to discover more about the rich history of the area. The archaeological finds are really impressive and will be deposited with the local Oxfordshire Museum. We look forward to reading the full report into the archaeological discoveries at Oseney Abbey once it's published." David Radford, the City Council's archaeologist, said, "It's gratifying to see the targeted archaeological work produce important new information about the layout and development of the Abbey. The medieval ring found in the Abbey drain was the most striking find. Open-mouthed beasts form the shoulders of the finger ring, like hooded snakes, separated from the hoop by small double-studded collars. The snakes have beading and ribbing down the hood and elongated eyes with small recesses for pupils, and their open mouths have several small ridges along the edges."
Oxford West and Abingdon's MP has discussed plans to redevelop Warnford Hospital during a recent visit to the site. Leila Moran recently toured the Oxford Health Clinical Research Facility based at the Headington Hospital, the Warnford. The facility opened in 2011 and played a role in the AstraZeneca and Norovax vaccine trials during the pandemic, seeing more than 500 participants. Ms. Moran, who is also chair of the Parliamentary Health and Social Care Select Committee, was there to discuss the Warnford Park development plans. This project aims to create a new mental health hospital surrounded by a research and innovation hub to tackle key issues in brain health. During her visit, Ms. Moran was shown around the facilities by the facility's clinical lead, Dr. Catherine Smith, and the director, Professor Andrea Cipriani. She met with specialist staff, viewed the sleep study suite, and discussed a new OHCRF studies. She also saw the newly refurbished CRF lab, which has expanded capacity to process blood, saliva, and cerebrospinal fluid samples from research study participants. She said, "It was a privilege to meet the team at the Warnford Hospital, to hear about the latest studies and learn about the very latest work being done to find new treatments. High-quality, specialist mental health care is critically important and too often neglected. I was pleased to hear about the success of the community mental health hubs, but it is also clear that we need capital investment into our research facilities and clinical settings to deliver the very best care that patients deserve." Professor Cipriani added, "In 2022, we were awarded over £4 million by the National Institute for Health and Care Research. Out of 28 CRFs funded in the whole country, only three received more funding than the previous five-year cycle, and the Oxford Health one was one of them. We are the only CRF in the UK entirely dedicated to delivering studies in mental health and cognition. This is a huge responsibility towards patients, carers and clinicians, but also to taxpayers and policymakers. It was for us a fantastic opportunity to meet our local MP and start a discussion about how we can contribute even more to the advancement of mental health care nationally and globally." Dr. Smith said, "It was great to be able to host the visit to the OHCRF to show our current facilities and vision for future developments. We continue to expand our portfolio of clinical research studies with novel treatments for mental and cognitive disorders."
A city cycle shop described as an Oxford institution has been forced to close its doors. Bike Zone on St Michael Street in Oxford has ceased trading after 14 years. In a notice on the door, the owner, Stuart Meanwell, and all the staff said, Bike Zone has been a fixture in the centre of Oxford and quite an Oxford institution for many years. But the impact of COVID, problems with our shop lease, and steeply increased running costs have undermined our profitability to the point where we are not able to continue. The notice said, a big thank you to all the, bracket, mostly, close bracket, lovely regular customers who have patronised the shop over the years. It has been a pleasure to work here, and the closure leaves us all with great feeling of sadness. At least Oxford is not short of good bike shops to help you keep your bikes in running smoothly. Mr. Meanwell told the Oxford Mail that the business problems come from debts that were run up trying to survive the COVID pandemic. Changes to the local market post-COVID, government policies that have heaped extra costs onto businesses, massively increased utility bills, and a gradual shift towards online buying of bikes and bike kit. There were some East lease issues as well, said Mr. Meanwell, but that's too long a story to get a fair telling in a short newspaper article. In 2020, Mr. Meanwell was among small business owners who criticised city centre landlord Oxford City Council for not giving them rent holidays or rent reductions while they tried to bounce back from the pandemic. He added, this shop closure has absolutely nothing to do with LTNs and quickways. Mr. Meanwell was co-founder of Beeline Bicycles in Cowley Road in the 1980s with the late Clive Tulip, and later took over the former Broadribs cycle shop in Market Street, renaming it Bike Zone. The Market Street shop proved too small, but Mr. Meanwell said at the time it was difficult to find premises in Oxford because of the rents. He said, Oxford rents are second only to the West End of London, and all the bike shops have to go to Cowley Road. The larger Bike Zone in St. Michael Street was opened by the Lord Mayor of Oxford, Elise Benjamin, in June 2011, and housed Zappi's Cafe, run by Italian cyclist Flavio Zappi. The cafe later expanded into the guest house next door and became the Handlebar Cafe and Kitchen. At the time, Mr. Meanwell said it was a 20-year-old dream of opening a large bike shop in the historic heart of Oxford. He also owned Summertown Garden Centre, selling bikes alongside plants for 2 years before transforming the whole premises into Oxford's other leading cycle store, Summertown Cycles.
A rail project that has caused disruption for 18 months has finally reached a new phase, but it has now been revealed the major scheme will shut down for 17 days over Christmas. No work will be carried out on delayed Botley roadworks for more than 2 weeks during the Christmas period between 20th of December and the 6th of January, according to Network Rail. The company has been asked why the works will be stopped for so long, which has not been explained at this stage. Botley Road has been closed since April 2023 for Network Rail's £161 million project aimed at expanding Oxford Central train station. The road was originally due to reopen in October 2024, but the project has faced repeated delays. The closure will continue until 2025, with Network Rail yet to announce a new reopening date. It comes as MP for Oxford West and Abingdon, Leila Moran, secured a meeting with the Transport Secretary, Louise Hague, next week to discuss Network Rail's mismanagement of the Oxford Station upgrade and the persistent delays plaguing the project, and the impact on the local community and businesses. Ms. Moran said, the extended closure of Botley Road has been disastrous for many local businesses, especially as we approach the Christmas period. Local residents and businesses have lost all faith in Network Rail to deliver the project, and I look forward to getting some answers for them. Parking in Abbey Road between Botley Road and Cripley Place junctions is suspended to allow buses to be diverted to get into the turning area. so the suspension will remain in place until Friday, December the 20th. Anyone with a residence parking permit is able to park in other streets within the wider West Oxford controlled parking zone. Network Rail has also arranged some alternative parking for those permit holders directly impacted on Abbey Road, Cripley Place and Cripley Road. The junction into Mill Street is open as usual, but it's reduced down to one lane with temporary traffic lights in place to manage traffic coming in and out. Phase two of the work will begin in December. This will see the road closed between Abbey Road and Mill Street, with all traffic being diverted via Abbey Road. This is planned to start on December the 1st. So work will be paused over the Christmas period and parking restrictions will be removed. A Network Rail spokesman said, "We know how important Botley Road is to Oxford and apologise for the ongoing inconvenience. We have met with local businesses to understand their concerns and have been running a campaign to encourage people to shop locally, including signs to highlight that businesses are open and a series of videos about what they have to offer. We are working out the best way forward for our project and will continue to engage with the local community as our plans develop."
Oxford Railway Station has been ranked as one of the worst and busiest in the UK. The latest ratings have been published by On Time Trains for 2023-24 and are based solely on entries and exits, no longer including interchanges. Included in the new data are two lists, which document the busiest station's performance over the last year across the country. One of the lists shows 100 of those performing at the best level, while the other highlights 100 were operating at the worst. Oxford Rail Station ranks as 26 on the worst list, with the data showing a high amount of trains to and from the spot are cancelled or late. It is the 67th busiest station in the UK, with an average of over 18,000 passengers a day, and overall it ranks at a lowly 1,575th for the best stations throughout the country. In contrast, Oxford Parkway ranks at a far higher 750th in the best stations list, with nearly 1,800 average passengers, while Islip Station ranks even higher, at 447th with just 92 passengers a day on average. Bicester North is ranked 641st overall and has an average of just over 2,000 passengers a day, while Bicester Village is rated higher at 556th in the UK with an average of nearly 5,000 passengers a day. Banbury Station is listed at 1,634th in the list, with an average of something over 5,000 passengers a day.
Oxford University Press has named brain rot as its word of the year. After more than 37,000 votes, worldwide public discussion and analysis of language data, the OUP has revealed its choice. The first recorded use of the word brain rot was found in 1854 in Henry David Thoreau's book Walden, but the term has taken on new significance in the digital age. Oxford's given definition for the term is supposed deterioration of a person's mental or intellectual state, especially viewed as a result of overconsumption of material, now particularly online content, considered to be trivial or unchallenging. Oxford University Press reports that the term brain rot has increased in usage frequency by 230% between 2023 and 2024. Caspar Grathwell, president of Oxford Languages, said, "Looking back at the Oxford Word of the Year over the past two decades, you can see society's growing preoccupation with how our virtual lives are evolving, the way internet culture is permeating so much of who we are and what we talk about, Now, last year's winning word, RIS, was an interesting example of how languages increasingly formed, shaped and shared within online communities. Brain rot speaks to one of the perceived dangers of virtual life and how we are using our free time. It feels like a rightful next chapter in the cultural conversation.
Oxford residents and businesses are being encouraged to take advantage of zero-emission deliveries within the city this Christmas. These deliveries are available as part of an ongoing partnership between Oxford City Council and Velocity Cycle Couriers. The collaboration, which started last March, provides same-day and next-day zero-emission cargo bike deliveries from the city centre, Cowley and Covered Market Traders to addresses within the Ring Road. Following an initial 12-week trial, the scheme was extended for 3 months, and then for a further 6 months from last August. A spokesperson for the City Council said, "The service is ideal for local Christmas shopping, helping to reduce both carbon emissions and congestion while making your shopping experience easier and more convenient." The service is provided by Velocity Couriers using dedicated Covered Market e-cargo bikes or Velocity's own fleet. They are also able to offer deliveries outside the Ring Road using fully electric vans with an additional fee per mile. The partnership is set to run until February 28, 2025. Councillor Anna Railton, Deputy Leader and Cabinet Member for Zero Carbon Oxford and Climate Justice at Oxford City Council, said, "If you're looking to get gifts delivered to you or your loved ones this Christmas period, why not support a fantastic local business as well as the planet by having a delivery by electric cargo bike?" With Oxford bustling during the holidays, this service supports both local businesses and shoppers by offering a convenient zero-emission transport solution. The transport sector is the largest contributor of NOx emissions in the city, accounting for 68% of emissions in Oxford. The council said that the electric cargo bike partnership aims to support businesses as they explore how they can move towards zero emission deliveries. Cargo bikes are designed to carry bulky items, making them an ideal eco-friendly option for getting around the city centre, the council added. Jake Swinhoe from Velocity said, "It's been great to see so many local traders switching their deliveries to cargo bikes. We offer a flexible and efficient service that meets the needs of businesses and consumers, while reducing pollution, improving air quality, and tackling congestion within the Ring Road." Participating businesses include Oxford Cheese Company, Ice Cream, The Garden, Gemini, Gulp Fiction, Blue Blood, Wicked Chocolate, Shepherd and Woodward, Walters, Hoyles, Ox Unboxed, The Vaults, Hamblin, YOU Underwear, Truck Oxford, Oxford Mutual Aid, Nothing, and Mac Simple. Other businesses wanting to get involved in the partnership can contact Velocity at hello@velocitycc.co.uk or by calling 01865 249 854.
Oxford Smoke Control Area, which affects rules around the use of wood burners and open fires, is set to cover the whole of the city. Smoke control areas aim to reduce the amount of smoke that is produced from wood burners and open fires. The council announced plans last year to replace the patchwork of 23 smoke control areas, which covered 49% of the city, with a single smoke control area covering the entire city. This meant that from December 1st, all homes within Oxford City Council's administrative boundary lay within Oxford's expanded smoke control area. Under this legislation, residents using a wood burner or open fire must ensure their appliance is on the list of exempt appliances for use within smoke control areas. If the appliance is not exempt or they use an open fire, they must use a smokeless fuel such as anthracite, semi-anthracite, gas, or low volatile steam coal. The same rules apply to business premises as to homes. If smoke is witnessed from the chimney of a domestic or commercial building, fines of up to £300 can be issued. The businesses which sell wood or other solid fuel within smoke control areas can only sell wood to those with an exempt appliance and can only sell authorised fuel to those using wood-burning stoves, appliances or open fires. Those who are found to be selling or buying unauthorised fuel for use without an approved appliance in a smoke control area can face fines of up to £1,000. Councillor Anna Railton, Deputy Leader and Cabinet Member for Zero Carbon Oxford, said, "Fine particulate pollution from smoke poses serious health risks and tackling it is crucial for public health. Until now, Oxford's smoke control areas covered only 48% of the city, leaving gaps in protection. From December the 1st, we're unifying the city under a single smoke control area, ensuring that every part of Oxford benefits from improved safeguards against harmful pollution. This expansion targets the reduction of both indoor and outdoor fine particulate emissions by restricting the use of high-polluting and inefficient solid fuels. Houseboats and outdoor barbecues, chimeneas, garden fireplaces and pizza ovens are not covered by the smoke control areas. For those living in parts of Oxford previously covered by a smoke control area, nothing will change. When the City Council receives a complaint about chimney smoke, it will initially aim to educate residents on using authorised fuel types and exempt appliances and how they can be used efficiently. It is said it will also work to support households in fuel poverty through grant funding where eligible.
Oxford residents have been invited to invest in the County Council's net zero plans. The council is working to become a net zero organisation by 2030 and to help the whole county achieve this status by 2050. To help meet these targets, it's launching the first round of the Oxfordshire Green Investment. This will allow residents and businesses to invest in their community's greener future. The council hopes to raise an initial £500,000 through this scheme. The funds will be spent on a range of energy efficiency improvements to council-owned buildings, such as fire stations and care homes, as well as a large-scale tree planting programme. The council said it sees this as a great opportunity to involve the public in its net zero ambitions. This type of investment, also known as a community and municipal investment, offers a low-risk return of 4.4% per year. This rate is fixed for the full 5-year investment term, with a minimum investment of just £5. Councillor Dan Levy, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Finance, said, "The Council wants to lead the way by reaching net zero significantly ahead of the national 2050 target and wants to inspire local residents and businesses to join it along the way. This scheme is a chance for people to get involved and help fund the Council's exciting plans. Initially, we want to raise £500,000 to support a variety of green measures to decarbonise council-owned buildings, help create cleaner air and improve local biodiversity for the county as a whole." Councillor Pete Sudbury, Deputy Leader for the Council with responsibility for climate change, environment and future generations, added, "It's great to be able to offer residents of this county an investment designed for a decent return with a direct impact on improving their local environment and services. The investment process is managed by Abundance Investment, a leading platform for ethical and sustainable investments. This initiative is entirely separate from the Council's budget process for 2025-26 and beyond. It comes after the County Council launched its Climate Action Framework in 2020, which set out how it wants to cut its own emissions and transform into an organisation that can play its part in Oxfordshire's green transition. The Council said investments are long-term and may be hard to sell. It added Council investments are not a savings account, and people who invest are lending money to a Council. Changes in market interest rates may affect the value of the investment if people sell before maturity.
The first in a series of debates held by the University of Oxford at the Sheldonian Theatre focused on the topic of democracy. This new series of termly events is aimed at promoting open discussion of the major topics of the day. The inaugural Sheldonian series event examined a variety of viewpoints for a very topical debate with a large audience of staff, students and alumni in attendance on Monday, November the 25th. Discussions on the theme explored talking points such as the future of democracy, polarisation of politics, free speech, social media, economic dislocation and the US elections in British politics. The debate was moderated by Rachel Sylvester, political columnist of The Times, who said it was an inspiring evening, which showed that free speech is alive and well at Oxford, and it's possible to debate and even disagree with courtesy and moderation. The new series was announced by the university's Vice-Chancellor, Professor Irene Tracy, at her annual oration 2024. She said, "The spirit of these events is one of examination and exploration, curiosity and challenge, showcasing what good dialogue looks like. The series will allow our community to hear from a range of voices in a variety of fields with diverse viewpoints on some of the big questions of our age. Freedom of speech is the lifeblood of our university, and the Sheldonian series is about reaffirming the importance of free and inclusive speech, diversity of thought, and a vibrant exchange of ideas. I am delighted. The inaugural event was well attended and produced a lively discourse. A panel discussion representing a range of perspectives and students, staff and alumni in attendance had an opportunity to engage with the views put forward. The speakers were Henry Zeffman, BBC Chief Political Correspondent, Sonia Sota, Chief Leader Writer and Columnist at The Observer, and Ben Ansell, Professor of Comparative Democratic Institutions at the University of Oxford. Professor Ansell said, "I was delighted to participate in the inaugural Sheldonian series event and to be able to talk about democracy at such a crucial moment in global politics with a who's who of British media."
Oxford Bus Company has issued a warning to passengers following a Facebook scam. A fake page named Public Transport for Oxford claimed a six-month ticket could be bought for £2 to celebrate an anniversary of the bus company. Oxford Bus Company has warned people not to fall for the scam. The company posted an advisory on its social media platforms urging people to ignore the posts. An Oxford Bus Company spokesperson said, "We are aware there is a scam currently circulating from the Public Transport in Oxford, advertising a six-month ticket for £2. This is a fake offer designed to collect your details."
A programme which sees road closures at the start and end of the school day is set to continue, but with automatic number plate recognition, ANPR, cameras. The school streets trial at five primary schools in the county will continue with the cameras from the end of November. Oxfordshire County Council has been trialling school streets during the 2023-24 school year. It saw timed road closures with volunteers operating pop-up gates close to school entrances at start and finish times of school. The aim is to reduce the volume of traffic during drop-off and picking up times to create a safer environment for children, parents and teachers to walk or cycle to school. Manor Primary School in Didcot and Tyndale Community, St Mary and St John Church of England, Sandhills Community and New Hinksey Church of England Primary Schools in Oxford have been trialling school streets during 2024. Councillor Andrew Gant, the County Council's Cabinet Member for Transport Management, said, "It is fantastic news that school streets have made such a positive difference to school start and finish for these schools. These are two of the busiest times of the day for schools and for families, filled with hustle and bustle, trying to remember and coordinate everything with multiple time pressures to meet. The school street creates a quieter road that provides a calmer and more welcoming environment where children and their families and carers can socialise and enjoy the moment, helping set them up for a brighter rest of the day." A formal decision to install ANPR cameras as the next progression of the school streets trial was made at the County Council member meeting on September the 5th. ANPR cameras have been installed at the school street entry points over recent weeks to help operate the scheme consistently without relying on volunteers. Cameras will operate only during set school drop-off and pick-up times, on school days only, and will cover only the entry point. Blue badge holders and residents near the school gates can still drive through them during these times if they need to. Residents and businesses in the school street locations have received letters on how to apply for their vehicle exemptions and when their school ANPR cameras will become operational. The County Council's school street web pages also provide a full list of exempt vehicles, which includes residents, local businesses, blue badge holders and carers, and gives details on how to register an exemption. The County Council said it welcomes interest for more schools in trialling a school street.
Police have seized a number of illegal e-scooters and e-bikes during an operation in Oxford. On Tuesday, December the 3rd, in the evening, Oxford Central Neighbourhood Team and Roads Policing conducted an operation in Oxford City Centre focusing on illegal e-bikes and e-scooters. The force said that in total, 7 illegal e-bikes and 3 illegal e-scooters were seized. The Thames Valley Police website states that it is not currently possible to get insurance for privately owned e-scooters, making it illegal to use them on the road or in public spaces such as parks, street pavements and shopping centres. Those who use a privately owned e-scooter in public risk the vehicle being seized under S-165 Road Traffic Act 1988 for having no insurance. During the operation, police also arrested 2 people on suspicion of immigration offences and 1 person on suspicion of drug driving.
An Oxford homelessness charity has said more people could very quickly face homelessness as the number of households applying for support has gone up. Figures from the Ministry of Housing, Committees and Local Government show the number of households in England assessed for homelessness support rose by 10% over the last year, reaching nearly 91,000 between April and June. In Oxford, 253 households were assessed, up from 194 in the same period in 2023. Sasha East, Chief Executive of The Gatehouse, an independent charity and drop-in centre for homeless and vulnerable adults in Oxfordshire, said, "Over the past year, we've seen an increase in people coming to The Gatehouse who are facing homelessness. It's really difficult for people to get housing in Oxford because there is so little available. there's an extremely high cost for other things, such as needing a guarantor or landlords not accepting pets. This can make it really difficult for people to find housing. Those who do have homes worry about how they'll be able to continue living in their homes, as any potential rent increase could mean they will very quickly be facing homelessness. Other charities describe the national picture as a worsening housing crisis, suggesting that the only solution is for the government to build 90,000 affordable social homes a year for the next decade. Polly Neat, chief executive of Shelter, said, "Devastatingly, we're seeing the housing emergency continue to escalate, with more and more people showing up to their council, facing homelessness, desperate for help." A few weeks ago, the government announced an additional £233 million would be spent in 2025 to 26 to tackle homelessness, tackling total expenditure on the issue to £1 billion. In England, 123,000 households were living in temporary accommodation as of June, including 248 in Oxford. This is up from 105,750 the year before. Meanwhile, nearly 160,000 children faced homelessness in temporary accommodation nationally, up 15% from the year before, and the highest figures since records began in 2001. Rushanara Ali, Minister for Homelessness, said, "It's a scandal that so many children are waking up in temporary accommodation. We have inherited the consequences of years of failure to grip the housing crisis, with families facing the brutal uncertainty and trauma of homelessness. We are taking decisive action to get the homes we need built, and our dedicated inter-ministerial group, led by the Deputy Prime Minister, is working at pace across government to get us back on track to end homelessness for good. We will deliver the biggest boost in social and affordable house building in a generation and tackle one of the biggest drivers of homelessness by ending no-fault evictions."
A surgical hub in Oxford has been accredited for its high standards. The hub at the Nuffield Orthopaedic Centre has been accredited as an elective surgical hub, delivering high standards in clinical and operational practice. The accreditation scheme, run by NHS England's Getting It Right First Time programme, assesses hubs against a framework of standards. This is aimed at providing faster access to common surgeries such as cataract, surgery and hip replacements, while ensuring a high standard of care. The hub was assessed on various criteria, including its patient pathway, staff and training, clinical governance and outcomes, facilities and productivity. Surgical hubs are separate from emergency services, providing more dedicated operating theatres and beds for elective care. This separation from emergency services allows surgical beds to be kept free for planned operations, reducing the risk of cancellations. They focus on high volume, low complexity surgeries across ophthalmology, general surgery, orthopaedics, gynaecology, ear, nose and throat, and urology. The Oxford Surgical Hub is one of 44 hubs that have been accredited so far. There are currently 110 hub sites in operation in England, with plans to accredit all hubs over the next 18 months. Professor Andy Price, Clinical Director for Trauma and Orthopaedics at Oxford University Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, said, "This is fantastic news and indicative of the focus our teams have on delivering excellent care and making sure our patients have a high quality, safe and efficient experience when they're with us. This accreditation is a physical marker of high standards and recognises excellence. We're incredibly pleased to receive this." Felicity Taylor-Drew, Chief Operating Officer at OUH, added, "A huge congratulations to all involved in achieving this accreditation. Patient safety and their overall experience are of paramount importance to us here at OUH, and this accreditation is further evidence of our Nuffield Orthopaedic Centre's teams delivering this. This accreditation allows us to tackle long waits for surgery, making sure that people are treated more quickly and are on the mend as soon as possible. Professor Tim Briggs, Chair of GIRFT and NHS England's National Director for Clinical Improvement and Elective Recovery, said, "We have been impressed with the professionalism and enthusiasm of the Hub's teams, who are delivering outstanding care. All the sites we accredited are focused on delivering safe and high-quality care and excellent patient experience."
Organisers of Oxford Town Hall's annual beer festival say that the event was a success, but that they must do better next year. Last month, the three-day festival, organised by the Oxford branch of the Real Ale Group CAMRA, Campaign for Real Ale, was celebrating its 25th year at the St Aldate's venue. On offer for drinkers were 140 real ales, 20 ciders and perries, and for the first time, up to 40 craft keg beers, as the festival also hosted a Midlands regional competition for the Society of Independent Brewers, SIBA, SIBA. Now, organisers have had the chance to review this year's festival and see what improvements can be made for next year. While the festival was deemed a success, the event would have lost money without the attendance of the regional competition. A rallying call will now go out in the spring for help with social media and securing sponsorship deals to safeguard the future of the festival. Festival organiser Graham Allen warned of a major increase in costs for 2025, even before any beer is ordered, with town hall venue hire increasing by up to 18%. So total expenditure could go up by £12,000. If SIBA isn't there, then it won't work, and as I won't get budget approval from CAMRA, this is not going to happen. We face diminishing numbers, a massive increase in costs, and uncertainty over SIBA's involvement. But I'm not up for pulling the plug completely now. Dates for 2025 are in place, and we've got the next few months to see how it goes and look at the results of other CAMRA festivals. SIBA supplied about 150 barrels of real ale at favourable rates, so the festival made a small profit. The dates for next year's festival are October the 16th to 18th. 3 days. Another organiser, Matt Bullock, said, "I understand that without SIBA, the chances of having the festival in 2025 are slim. We need younger people to come in and help, as social media is the way forward. And what about sponsorship? There are also opportunities for corporate entertaining. A decade ago, the festival attracted about 3,000 people, almost double the number in 2024. CAMRA says the reasons for the decline could include older people still being hesitant about going out after the pandemic, fewer people working in the city centre, many 18 to 25-year-olds not drinking alcohol, and the wide availability of quality real ales in city centre pubs. More than 80 volunteers from across the country helped to run the event. At least 10 breweries from Oxfordshire were represented, proving that local brewing seems to be buoyant despite the loss of names such as Witchwood and White Horse."
Burger King has revealed Oxford customers' favourite order of the past year. According to the fast foods chain's BK Unwrapped 2024 report, more double Angus bacon with cheese burgers were ordered in Oxford than anywhere else. The chain has a branch on the Cowley Retail Park. The report details some of the quirkiest Burger King orders, requests, insights, and trends from the past year. It also links findings to significant events, like the Euros and the August bank holiday, showing how eating habits change during these times. In the UK, The summer heat on August 12th led to a surge in orders for chili cheese bites. Football fans sought comfort in food after England's 2-1 loss to Spain in the Euros final on July the 14th, with bacon double cheese XL orders doubling compared with the previous weekend. The Picky Bits share a box had its most popular day on the 31st of August. And Valentine's Day witnessed the Whopper Wednesday's offer becoming especially popular. There was also a 25% decrease in requests to remove onions from Whoppers on the day. Regional data show Londoners ordered the most chili cheese bites, and Glasgow led in the chicken royale with cheese and onion ring orders.
Oxford will host the British Transplant Games for the first time ever next summer. The flagship event of charity Transplant Sport aims to raise awareness of the life-saving benefits of organ donation and to encourage transplant recipients to stay active post-transplant. Following a successful European Transplant Games in 2022, the Games will take place at various venues across the city from July the 31st to August the 3rd. With more than 25 sporting events hosted over 5 days, or 4 days rather, the Games are expected to attract about 1,000 transplant athletes, along with their families, friends and donors, to the city. The launch event will take place on December the 5th at Blenheim Palace, which will be one of the 2025 Games' venues. The event will involve a special performance from The Voice star and kidney transplant recipient Adam Isaac. The singer, aged 40, was given a life-changing kidney transplant in 2022 from a bandmate he hadn't seen in 15 years after being diagnosed with kidney failure. Registration for the Games is expected to open in February 2025. Transplant recipients of all ages can compete at the British Transplant Games from the under-5s up to the over-70s. The annual 4-day event has been running for more than 40 years. Campaigners have raised £100,000 to fight the controversial proposals for a giant solar farm. The proposed 3,200-acre Botley West solar farm would cover sites near Botley, Kidlington and Woodstock, mostly on land owned by Blenheim. Developer Photovolt Development Partners, PVDP, sent its proposal to the government's planning inspectorate on November the 15th. The Stop Botley West Community Group's fighting fund has been boosted to a total of £100,000 by a 30% increase in donations since the Development Consent Order, DCO, application was submitted. 4 days before the DCO submission, Stop Botley West said it had raised £70,000, but 2 days later, donations of more than £30,000 had hit the campaigning group's bank account. Stop Botley West will use the donations to fund legal and technical expertise that challenges the controversial application. The proposed development would stretch from above Wootton to below Cassington, mainly on Greenbelt-designated Blenheim Estate farmland. Some 15 villages would be impacted as far south as Culham. Professor Alex Rogers, chair of Stop Botley West, said, "We have been contacted by many people making small but important contributions, as well as by individuals who have felt able to provide substantial donations to our fighting fund. They've told us that they're motivated by four main areas of concern about the proposed development. They fear long-term damage to greenbelt-based productive agricultural land and the tenants who farm it. They also believe that the massive risks of increased flooding triggered by rain runoff is being ignored by the developer. They are worried that the industrialisation of the heritage, landscape and public rights of way will have a serious impact on the physical and mental health of residents and visitors. Finally, they told us that they are frustrated by the lack of opportunities to have their voices heard and acted on during PVDP's wholly inadequate public consultation process. The Planning Inspectorate, PINS, is currently considering whether to accept the DCO application with a December the 13th deadline. Professor Rogers urged supporters to use the next fortnight to prepare to submit their concerns and arguments to PINS. Speaking on behalf of Photovolt Development Partners, Director Mark Owen Lloyd said, "We're delighted to have submitted our application, which will now be subject to a rigorous evidence-based assessment by the Planning Inspectorate. We welcome any interested party who wishes to take part in this transparent, thorough and well-defined process."
A Blackbird Lees care home has led a group of homes in collecting donations for a food bank. Residents and staff from five care homes run by the Orders of St John Care Trust gathered donations for the Oxford Community Emergency Food Bank. The collection was led by Longlands Care Home, which represented the other care homes at an event at St Francis Church, where they handed over the collected goods. The other care homes involved included Oxford's Isis House, Thames Meadowcroft and Cirencester's Paternoster House, as well as the Trust's care quality team. Residents and staff donated canned goods, dry goods and toiletries. Longlands resident, Olga Hammerschmidt, who attended the handover event, said, "It's nice giving back to the community." While James Ryan, another Longlands resident, said, "By giving, you plant hope in a world that desperately needs it." The contributions were gratefully received by the food bank and will be organised into food parcels and given out to those in need. Longlands Home Care Manager Kelly Marie Allen said, "Hunger knows no boundaries, neither should compassion. This collection, driven by our residents, is inspirational. The act of kindness nourishes not just the body, but also the soul." Longlands Head of Care, Regina Topali, added, "Sharing what we have transforms our communities into places of care and love, and that's what Longlands is all about."
Food banks in Oxford are facing critical shortages after a warehouse was forced to close due to flooding. Sophia, a major distributor of surplus food, has had to shut its Didcot warehouse after severe flooding. This has halted deliveries until at least middle of the following week, leaving community food banks like Oxford Community Action and Oxford Mutual Aid struggling. Oxford Community Action was only able to hand out roughly a fifth of its usual food parcels at its weekly pop-up food bank on Wednesday, November the 27th, meaning that 100 people were turned away. Hassan Sabri of Oxford Community Action said, "We have never faced a crisis like today. We are already struggling with supplies, and now we simply don't have the food to give to people coming to our doors for help." Oxford's food banks rely heavily on surplus redistribution from charities like Sophia, which collect unsold food from large retailers. Daniel Kearney of Oxford Mutual Aid said, "This disruption highlights how fragile our emergency food systems are. We urgently need support to ensure that no one in our community goes hungry." Community groups are calling for immediate action to source emergency food this week from local authorities, supermarkets and shops. They're also seeking for longer-term action to address the root cause of poverty and food insecurity. The food distribution services were initially set up in 2020 as an emergency response to the pandemic. However, they have recently seen an even greater need and demand for their services than at the height of the pandemic. They've also seen many new faces coming to them for support, including people working multiple or full-time jobs but still struggling to access essentials. In response to the ongoing challenge, these organisations and other local partners in the OX4 food crew have been exploring collaborative solutions to build more sustainable food support systems. And among these is the idea of piloting social supermarkets and affordable food clubs, which over time could leverage the collective buying power of communities to build up access to affordable food. These would offer a more autonomous, stigma-free, sustainable option for food access while providing a more nutritious and culturally appropriate range of food, the organisation said. They also said it would help to foster greater community resilience by allowing groups to buy, store and distribute exactly what the communities want, making them less vulnerable to situations like the one they're facing this week. The community food banks are also calling on local authorities, donors and retailers to step in with urgent support and emergency food supplies. A fish restaurant in Oxford has won a national 2024-25 Good Food Award. Cuttlefish opened 7 years ago on St Clement Street, next to sister restaurant La Cucina, under owners Alberto and Yola Brunelli. Under the guidance of Sicilian chef Michele Genna, the team has been awarded a prestigious blue ribbon by the Good Food Awards. "We are thrilled to hear the amazing news, as the Cuttlefish team has worked so hard to get the restaurant name on the culinary map," says Mrs. Brunelli. "With fish and chips, oysters, hot seafood platters, black pasta with mussels, vegetarian arancini and Sunday roast available, there is a dish for everyone and you could even pop in for a coffee. We're very proud of our teams at Cuttlefish and La Cucina, and will strive next year to stay on top and offer our customers the best food experiences we can. We live for hospitality in St Clement's and are so proud to be able to plan for La Cucina's 20th anniversary in 2025. Not bad for a small independent family business." Alongside receiving the blue ribbon, Cuttlefish was also included in the Hardens Guide.
That was the last news item for this week's Ox Talk. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, then please ring Margaret on a new number, 07496 062280. And do please leave your name and contact or phone number so that we can return your call. This edition and previous editions of Ox Talk can be found on our website, oxtalk.org.uk, and you can listen there or you can download an edition to listen at your leisure. And it's goodbye from me, and I wish you a peaceful week. Goodbye.
Notice to listeners of OxTalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to OxTalk using Alexa. To listen to OxTalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper. Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to OxTalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact OxTalk and we will try to help.